when you first ask Him to forgive you of your sins, somewhere in the back of your mind, you're thinking, this is great. I'm getting my sins forgiven. I can take it from here. I'm going to direct my own life. And thanks God for the forgiveness. I'll see you when I die and that sort of thing. But you know, God has much more in plan for the relationship than that. So then He becomes our King in the sense that we know He is a greater being. He has power, He has love, He has mercy. And then we're led into the Lordship. And Lordship is that complete submission.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today in the studio, we have one of David's associate pastors, D.A. Brown. Welcome, brother.
Hey, Bob. It's great to be here. We want to take a minute to pray for some cities in our listening audience. Hope everyone prays with me. Holbrook, Payson, Pine Top, Winslow, Yuma, Arizona, Bentonville, Fayetteville, Arkansas. God, we pray that many in these cities would tune in and listen today. God, we pray that if some are under the weather, sick, not feeling well, that You would heal them, God, for Your glory. Lord, we also pray that some would give their lives to You, receive Your grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. We pray that these cities would get excited about following You, and the churches would fill up, and You give the pastors wisdom and discernment on how to expound upon Your word for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother. I think it's awesome that we're lifting up to the Lord those listeners that hear us right at this moment. And as we're going into the teaching in 2 Samuel chapter 19, D.A., what are some of the lessons we should look for and take away?
Bob, it's important that God is not only our Savior, but He's our King and our Lord.
So, D.A., we hear that sometimes, but what's the difference between Jesus being our Savior and being our King and our Lord?
Bob, by grace alone we're saved. But then after we get saved, it's important to listen to God's instruction in every area of our life so we can continue to be blessed and thrive in all ways.
Well, let's listen as David McGee teaches on this very subject in 2 Samuel chapter 19.
We find ourselves in the midst of this story of 2 Samuel, in the midst of the story of Absalom. Absalom was the son of David, who at one time was probably going to be heir to the king. But a lot of things happened, and regrettably, Absalom was probably not that heir anymore. And even if he was the heir, Absalom wasn't patient enough to allow God's timing. And so Absalom created a rebellion. He led part of the kingdom of Israel against David. There was a big battle. Absalom was killed. And we find David in the midst of this. Chapter 19, verse 1. And Joab was told, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom." So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. For the people heard it said that day, "The king is grieved for his son." And the people stole back into the city that day as people who are ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Today you have disgraced all your servants who today have saved your life, the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines, in that you love your enemies and hate your friends. For you have declared today that you regard neither princes nor servants. For today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you well. Now therefore, rise, go out and speak comfort to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you do not go out, not one will stay with you this night. And that will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now." Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, "There is the king sitting in the gate." So all the people came before the tent, for everyone of Israel had fled to his tent. Verse 9. Now all the people were in a dispute throughout the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us from the hand of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of Philistines, and now he has fled from the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in battle. Now therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king?" So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, saying, "Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, since the words of all Israel have come to the king to his very house? You are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king?" Verse 13, "And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if you are not commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab." So he, David, swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word to the king, return, you and all your servants. Now the civil war is coming to an end. The two factions, the two groups fighting against each other, because they recognized the kingship of David. And notice again, David waits for the invitation to be their king. David had the right to be king, but he waited for the invite. Let me draw a parallel for you. God created us. God is within his rights to demand that we worship him and we declare him king, king of all the earth, king of glory. But does he do that? No, he doesn't. He waits for us to make the invitation to him to become our king. It's really an amazing thing if you think about it. God, with all that power, all that force, waits for us to invite him to be our king. There's some of the attributes of God, you look at him and you go, you know what? Golly, he's just different than me. This is one of those, isn't it? I mean, because I know that if I had that kind of power, that I would probably turn circumstances and situations to make people treat me as their king. Now, let's keep in mind, God is within his rights to do that, but he doesn't do that. He waits for you to invite him to be your king, which kind of begs the question, is he your king? Is he your king? We use that king word. If you're an American, if you grew up here in America, you've got no idea what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, is he your president? Somebody that you can vote in and out every 4 years. I'm talking about, is he your king? Somebody that is forever on the throne. Somebody that doesn't have to listen to your critique, but somebody that you're totally submitted to. If every time God asks you to do something or he creates a situation, you go, God, why are you doing this? What are you doing this for? I need to know all the details. He's not really your king. See, because understand, as a servant to a king, that's not a right that a servant has to go to the king and go, okay, king, I'll do this, but I need to know why you're asking me to do that. That's not the relationship of a servant to a king. Here's what Psalm chapter 100, verse 3 says. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He created us. He made the heavens and the earth. And still he waits patiently for us to invite him to be our king. He's even willing to forgive us of our sins as we come to him and say, Jesus, I believe in you. Please forgive me of my sins. Jesus says, done for believing. And still some of us stop short of making him our king. Life lesson. God should be our Savior, our King, and our Lord. God should be our Savior, our King, and our Lord. It usually goes in that order. He becomes your Savior, and you're, you know, when you first ask him to forgive you of your sins, somewhere in the back of your mind, you're thinking, this is great. I'm getting my sins forgiven. I can take it from here. I'm going to direct my own life, and, you know, and thanks God for the forgiveness. I'll see you when I die, and that sort of thing. But, you know, God has much more in plan for the relationship than that. So then he becomes our king in the sense that we know he is a greater being. He has power. He has love. He has mercy. And then we're led into the lordship. And lordship is that complete submission. It's interesting, a couple times in a couple places in the New Testament, the disciples say to him, no, Lord, which are two words that should never go together. Because if he's your Lord, you don't tell him no. And if you're telling him no, then he's not your Lord. There's an old saying, either he's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. So a lot of us say, well, Lord, you can be Lord of my life while I'm sitting in church. I'll be totally dedicated to you. But after that, it's all me, baby. No. God wants to be Lord of every part of your life. A lot of us think, okay, well, I'm going to give God financially. I'm going to give him 10% and then I've paid my dues. I'm done. No. God wants us to be stewards, good stewards of 100% of all that we have. Why? Because he's the one that has blessed us in that way. And so these are lordship issues. These are kingship issues. Because if you understand he's your Lord and your King, you're going to have a heart to express gratitude through serving other people, through worshiping God, through attending a fellowship, through tithing, through these things. And if you're not doing those things, then you have to ask yourself, well, is he really my King? Or am I still somewhere between Savior and King? He's waiting for that invite, friend. Verse 15, then the king returned and came to the Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to escort the king across the Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, Benjamite, who was with Barum, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him, and they went over the Jordan before the king. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now, literally in the Hebrew, that ferry boat is crossing place. So really in the original language, it's not, we're not sure if it's actually a ferry boat or just the place on the Jordan that they crossed. It's the same intent. But let's look at something. Look who the first two people that pop up, Ziba and Shimei. Now, if you've been with us for a few weeks, when David was leaving Jerusalem, Shimei was the one that came out and threw rocks at him and started cursing him. And Ziba was the one who came out. He was the servant of Mephibosheth. And he came out and said, hey, you know what? Mephibosheth, he's wanting to take over the throne as well as Absalom. We're going to find out that that was a lie. But it's interesting that the first two people that pop up are a little treacherous. Didn't really support David as he was being temporarily displaced from his throne. Verse 18, then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my lord impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. You know, I had mixed feelings as I was reading these verses. Because Shimei pops up, and some of what he's saying is good. He's going, hey, you know what? I messed up. I was wrong. But then I started really looking at what he was saying, and there's something missing. He says, I have sinned, but he never says, you know what, David? I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? Why do I mention that? Well, because sometimes in Christianity, there's this thought that as long as we realize that something's wrong, then we're good. We're okay. We're fine. As long as we realize that it's wrong. As long as we feel bad about it whenever we do it, then everything's okay. As a matter of fact, really, that's the mark of a really good service at church, isn't it? As long as you feel bad about something when you go to church, then it's been a good church service. Amen. I don't think so. There's a verse in the Bible that's an important verse. It says it's the goodness of God that leads many to repentance. And when we talk about the goodness of God and God being loving, God being kind, God being merciful, God being gracious, there's something when we hear that, we know that it's okay to come to God and say, God, you know what? I messed up and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I think Shimei understands he's got this audience with David and he starts the conversation. But he stopped short.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 21, but Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Abishai, he's zealous. If you remember before, when Shimei came out, was cursing David and throwing rocks at him, Abishai said, let me take him out. I'll take him out for you, David. And David said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. David says something similar this time, verse 22. And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? This is interesting. I think once again, here's something that we can grab onto. David says, you know what? Who's this guy? He came out throwing rocks at me before and saying words. And now he comes out and he's saying words again. And you're asking if I want to take him out. You know what? We don't need to take him out. But notice what David says. For do I not know that today I'm king over Israel? David knew who he was. There was a confidence in who he was that this little guy, Shimei, coming out, didn't matter. And in essence, David says, you know what? I know who I am. I'm not worried about this guy. And I know that in my life, and I've seen it in the lives of others, that at times when we're real insecure, the little things, man, they bug us. But when we know who we are in the Lord, The little things, they don't matter. When we know who we are in the Lord, the little things don't matter. It doesn't matter if somebody comes up and goes, ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. You know what? Because there will always be people coming up and going, ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. And you're just going to say, you know what? I know who I am in the Lord. I know who I am in the Lord. You're not going to bug me. Because understand, there are people out there that they're just hoping they can ruin your day. I don't know if they wake up in the morning and think, well, I got to ruin somebody's day. Oh, there's somebody, I can ruin their day. You know, I don't know what the mentality is, but you have to allow them to mess your day up. And it comes back to an uncertainty about who you are in the Lord. Because when you know who you are in the Lord, you know your past is pardoned. You know God's looking after you presently. You know your future is secured. What does it matter if somebody is doing this at the end of the day? And yet I understand. I get rattled sometimes myself. But it comes back to understanding who we are in the Lord. I have to choose to focus on the good things that God is bringing into my life, on the good things that God is doing through my life involving other people. And friend, there's a choice. Because you're going to have Shimeahs in your life. You have the choice to listen to the Shimeah or not listen to the Shimeah. That's your choice. Here's what the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. This is interesting verses because he says, do this, focus on these things. And as you focus on these things, the peace of God will be with you. Now, what would be the flip side? Don't focus on these things. Focus on what is wrong. Focus on what is false. Focus on what is ugly and sour in your life. Focus on things that are just outright sorry and not worthy of discussion. And you're not going to have any peace in your life. Now, that means something entirely different to each and every person to a certain degree. Some of us have no business watching the evening news because every time you watch the evening news, you can be doing great, feeling blessed, feeling good about God and your life, and you sit down and watch the news, and 30 minutes later, you're like, oh my gosh, and everything's gone wrong. Why? Because you're focusing on things that you shouldn't be focusing on. And the news people, they understand, no slam on them. They understand that sensationalism and bad things sell the news show. If they just came on and said everything is great in the world today, let me ask you a question. How many times would you tune in for that broadcast? Not many. And it affects us. Verse 23. Therefore, the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace. It was a type of mourning. He wasn't just being like weird and uncleanly. It was a type of mourning. He was really looking forward to the king's return. We should be looking forward to the king's return. How much anticipation is there in your life for the return of Jesus Christ? I understand some days more than others, but there should be a general sense of, man, I can't wait till Jesus gets back. I just can't wait. I just can't wait till the return of the king. Verse 25, so it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? Now let's remember Ziba had come out and said, Mephibosheth is after the throne and all these things. And verse 26, and he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go to the king because your servant is lame. Verse 27, and he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your eyes. Angel of God also would be messenger of God. And, you know, we looked at that place where the guy wrote, he came to give David a message and he really didn't have a message. Make sure you have a message in your life. And your primary message is talking about the love of God and the forgiveness of God and what God has done in your life. And that kind of creates all of us to be messengers. Verse 28, for all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I still to cry out any more to the king? So he's saying, you know, whatever you want to do, David. And let's remember that David, maybe in a rash moment, told Ziba that he could have everything that Mephibosheth owned. When Ziba was talking about that Mephibosheth was in conspiracy against him. Probably a rash decision, but here's what happened. Verse 29, so the king said to him, why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land. So at least now he has half. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, rather let him take it all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come in back in peace to his own house. So we see the heart of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth's like, I don't care about the land. I'm just glad that you're back. I'm glad that you're here. It's interesting as you see David coming back in that all these injustices they're getting righted. I think there's a bigger picture going on. So if you're going through this life and you're thinking this life is just, it's not. If you're thinking that our judicial system is able to enforce justice to a complete degree, friend, it ain't going to happen. Now, does that mean we'll never have justice? Absolutely not. We will have justice. When he who is just returns, then we will have justice. David's walking in and he's correcting all these things. And we have to understand that there's some things that won't be corrected until the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 31, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies when he had stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very rich man. Keep your finger right there. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 17. Let's read a couple of verses at the end of chapter 17, just to remind ourselves who Barzillai was. Chapter 17, verse 27. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Machirah the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogelim brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Whenever you're in life, and occasionally you do go through the desert, but even in the desert, the Lord sets a table out for you. The Lord will set a table for you even in the wilderness and bless you and take care of you. So this is what this guy had done in verse 33. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. Barzillai said to the king, how long will I have to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king repay me with such a reward? So you see his pure heart. He was just blessing David to bless David. I believe he knew that David was God's man and he just wanted to bless him. He wasn't after anything. There wasn't any agenda with him. He's just like, you know what? David's out here. His men are hungry. I'm going to take a bunch of food. I'm going to bless him. You know, it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do to bless other people, to be a blessing to other people. A lot of times we're very concerned about being blessed. But we should be more concerned about blessing others, especially as Barzillai saw David in this place of, it was a tough place. And Barzillai thought, you know what, I'm going to go bless this man. He's in the middle of a hard time. I'm going to go bless him. Whether it's a small kindness or a big kindness, we should be kind to people. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. We're told in another place in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Kindness, being kind to people, to be a blessing to one another. Here's the life lesson. We should be kind to one another, especially when someone is down or beat up. The Bible talks about us being kind. If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was an extremely kind person. He was very sensitive to the needs of people around him. And I think that's important for us to walk in and as we're following Jesus. And so in the midst of this, you know, the king says to Barzillai, he says, you know what, you've been such a blessing to me. Let me buy you dinner. Let me feed you. And so Barzillai says, you know what, I'm very old. I don't want to make the trip to Jerusalem. I can't really taste food anymore. I can't hear music very well. I'll just stay here and God bless you. You know, I mean, he appreciated the hospitality of David, but he wasn't going to go with him. And again, we see that it's pure in his motivation.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's home church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com.
That sounds good, Pastor D.A., and again, it's been great to have you with us on the program today. But tell us, what else can our listeners find on crossthebridge.com?
Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Those are terrific, and it's easy and it's free. So folks, sign up today at crossthebridge.com. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.